Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, in studio here today, and this is the second week that my bud David Niles is on vacation.
Slacker.
I mean, who takes 2 weeks of vacation in a
row? What a total slacker.
I know. So, I had the privilege of having Father Brian O'Brien from the Tulsa Diocese, Bishop Kelly Principal, here with me today.
It is a joy, Adam.
And a
lifelong dream that is being fulfilled at this very moment.
A Catholic Man Show listener, avid listener.
I would put myself in the avid category.
Yes.
And also, I am a Catholic Man Show evangelizer.
Yes, you are.
I have told many others.
Including fellow priests in the Tulsa Diocese.
That is correct.
So he knows, this isn't like his first rodeo. He knows what we do here on the Catholic Man Show. And
big,
he's very qualified.
Big fan. Living the dream.
Yes. So, thank you guys for tuning in. We start every man show off with a warning. And normally, Dave does the warning. I've done the warning a couple times. He's given me some grief over it because I've, you know, I was a B minus is what he rated me at. Last week I had to pull off the warning. But today.
It's harsh.
I know. I thought it was kind of a harsh harsh grading.
I thought I knew him.
I know. But today, because Father Brian O'Brien listens to the Catholic Man Show, loves the Catholic Man Show warning.
Big fan.
I'm going to let him do the warning for us.
So this is this show is called the Catholic Man Show, and with that, this is just a warning, and that is if you, all you listeners out there, man, woman, child, if you are susceptible to high levels of manliness, we recommend that you do something else at this moment, because the amount of manliness that is about to be
exuded,
spewed,
yeah,
out of your radio or computer or headphones,
it could be harmful.
It could be harmful to you. So,
and we don't want to hurt anybody.
If you are susceptible to high levels of manliness, go do something else.
Yes.
Was that good?
That was solid.
Bam.
Solid.
Ta-dow.
Hashtag solid.
Right on.
So, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every man show. We do one.
We open a manly beverage.
That's right. Two.
We talk about a manly item.
Gear.
Manly gear.
Manly gear.
My bad.
That's okay. Manly item is stupid. That was an idea that we came up with a long time
gear
ago.
Gear is better than item.
Yeah, gear is way better.
I'm so excited.
Yes. And then number three.
We talk about a manly topic.
Yes. And today is a very manly topic.
Very manly.
As always. So, what we're going to do is, you know, I heard Father Brian O'Brien. I'm just going to call you Father Brian from here on out.
It's all good.
So that way I don't have to continue. I heard that you weren't a super manly beverage drinker as far as you don't like the stout, strong, hard, you know.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, in my life, I would say that, you know, I did not have a drink until my 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm not trying to be prideful or anything, you know. And so. So I feel like a lot of people kind of got a jump start on me.
Right.
No one in this room.
No, not me.
But so then when it was time to when I was legal to be able to imbibe a drink or two, it's my first exposure was mostly what would commonly be known as perhaps girly drinks.
Right.
Scare quotes, girly drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like things that are, dare I say, fruity,
mm-hmm,
that have maybe a lot of quote-unquote sugar in them.
Yes.
And so when it comes to, like, I don't really like beer.
You don't like it? You're not a big beer guy?
I'm not a big beer guy.
That's okay, though.
And so, especially, like, sort of gatherings among priests, you know, mm-hmm, there'll be a drink or two. And what I love about your show, you guys always including the idea of moderation.
Right.
And because, so that alcohol can be, it's a good thing.
Right.
Obviously taken in excess as anything
is not good.
Is not good.
Right.
And so anyway, so I'm anxious to see what we're going to do here today.
Yeah. And here on the Man Show, we try to, like you said, like exercise moderation, because
definitely
in this society today, there's not a whole lot of places to
That's
learn
right.
moderation.
That's right.
So we try to do that here on the
and
Catholic
I run
Man
a high school. Shoot.
I
so
know.
I want to be,
you were
know,
a teacher
I
at the
be,
high school that I went to.
That's right. So
that
I want to be
before you're a priest.
I want to be a good example.
Yes,
I'm not always. You know, we all fall short,
right,
of the glory of God. But yeah, so
you're pretty high up there, though.
Oh gosh, I'm
you're
trying,
high up
but
there.
Oh man, it's rough. It's rough going. So well, yeah, we're gonna give this a shot. But yeah, I think you got me something special.
I did. I got you something special.
I feel so honored.
I went with Four Roses bourbon whiskey because I thought it was kind of sweet.
That's lovely.
You know, it's kind of a cute name.
I like that.
And so it's a Kentucky bourbon, a straight bourbon whiskey. It's called Four Roses. It's the single barrel.
I've been to Kentucky.
It's a sweet.
I went to the Kentucky Derby.
You did?
I did.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
That is awesome.
That's the run for the roses.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open this up, and we have
it's open.
Glencairn glass.
Oh, my gosh.
These are special whiskey glasses, and so I'm going to give you a little bit.
This is fancy.
Yeah, this is super fancy.
There's also a catechism.
Yes, we have a catechism
of
the Bible.
Well played.
And we also have the book Drinking with the Saints.
Oh, there it is.
You know, Father John Grant contributed to that
I heard
book.
That. Yeah, he's in the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I've heard that.
So, without further ado...
Here we go.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
And our mother. May we live with them forever.
Amen.
What are your initial thoughts?
That is not girly.
So here's the deal.
Smooth.
It is smooth. So the initial, when you smell it, the initial is...
I didn't even think to smell it.
Yeah, so it's a vanilla, kind of a vanilla caramel. You get a little caramel, a little vanilla.
I'm feeling it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then when you start drinking a little bit of it, there's a little bit more undertones of oak.
How do you know all this?
Well, I've just developed a palate, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, my palate.
Okay, maybe that's my problem.
Yeah, so you just start out...
I'm 40 years old and I have no palate.
Well, you just have to start
I blame
slow.
My parents.
So, and at the end, it's a very smooth...
Who's to blame for that? Is this genetics? Do I have bad genetics?
No. I think that this is... Like, you know, anybody who starts
I'm Irish. I should have a good palate.
You should have a good palate. I mean, I'm Irish as well. I'm from Cork, Ireland. That's where my family's from.
We're from County Kerry. Mm. Very proud.
So it's a pretty solid... A whiskey, and you know, metaphorically, we can give the four roses to our mother.
It's a beautiful bottle.
It is a good looking bottle.
Wow! It even has four roses on it.
Mm-hmm. It's a around a $40 bottle of whiskey, $35 to $40, so it's very reasonable.
What's an expensive bottle of whiskey? Huh?
Oh man, it's like what's an expensive car? Yeah, it's kind of like you can get up there.
I drive a Camry.
Yeah, I mean, I drive.
Is this the Camry of whiskeys?
No, I would say this is a little bit, maybe a little bit better than a Camry. Mm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a low-end Lexus, maybe?
Ooh, maybe. You know, you can get up to, you know, the hundreds and even thousands of dollars.
Oh, my goodness.
For whiskeys.
That doesn't seem right.
I know. But, there, you know, when they are the 25-year-old and things like that, whiskeys that are rare.
Wow.
They get up there. But typically, a good... Solid, you know, $40 to $60 range is pretty good.
And if you drink in moderation,
it lasts a long time. Right. I mean,
yeah.
we still have some of the bottles that we initially started the Catholic Man Show with.
And that was like weeks ago.
That was days ago.
Oh, my gosh. before the summer. Holy cow.
So, Father Brian O'Brien, did you hear that we are now on Breadbox Media?
I did hear that. Before you guys got on there, I had no idea what that was.
Really?
But since mm-hmm. hearing and listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. and I listen to it on my iPhone.
Right.
You can download it. Mm-hmm. I got it on iTunes. Mm-hmm. You can go there and you can review it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome
mm-hmm.
thing to do. Very manly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard of Breadbox Media, but so now I'm kind of explored it a little bit.
Yeah. It's super cool. Big Catholic internet streaming radio. There's a lot of really cool shows on there. Timothy Putnam, who you
know. I know Tim. Yep.
He's on there.
I've been to dinner at his house.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and with this whiskey being from Kentucky, they're stationed in Kentucky.
I had no idea.
So, Leo Brown is the owner of Breadbox Media. He has a show on there, and Mike Allen and Mark Shea.
I know Mark Shea.
Yeah.
Not personally.
Right. But you've heard
him.
Of him.
Yeah. Yep.
Our friend Rosalie and Allison Gringas. I mean, there's a lot of
nice.
Really cool people on there. It's a really cool family. But what it gives the opportunity to do is for listeners, there's a thing called Friend of the Show. And so if you're a friend of the Catholic Man Show and you want to say,
who
hey,
wouldn't be?
Which who wouldn't be?
What is your problem, people?
Right. If you don't, it's like, what? The people who are not friends have already turned off the radio because they're susceptible to high levels of manliness.
Yeah. Yeah, they're long gone.
Right. So the people who are friends can go to Breadbox Media, click on Friend of the Show, and they can give $10 a month for the show.
Oh, my gosh. That's nothing.
Nothing. $10 a month. And what it does is it gives them exclusive content here on the Catholic Man Show.
Wow.
So, like, interviews that we've done with people that we haven't aired. That's pretty cool.
Who knew?
Yeah. So, that's pretty cool.
I heard you guys interviewed Pope Francis. Is that still on there?
That is not on
there. Oh, okay.
No, that's still exclusive of the exclusive.
That's in the Vatican Secret Archives.
Yeah. So, good luck getting to that.
Nice.
So anyway, so that's a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun with Breadbox Media. They're a great group. So
yeah, check it out, all you listeners out there, both of you, check
it
out.
Be a friend of the show.
Be a friend of the show.
So
why wouldn't you be?
Father, we have like another 60 seconds or about a minute and a half for a break. Tell them a little bit about what you do.
So I am a priest of the Diocese of Tulsa, entering my 10th year as a priest. It is an awesome life. It is a great life. It is, as I like to tell, especially young people, in order for me to be who God created me to be, this is what I had to do. And so I get to wake up every morning and celebrate Mass and hear confessions. And in my particular sort of vocation within a vocation, the bishop has seen fit to give me thrice jobs, three. My first and foremost, I'm the president of Bishop Kelly High School, which is our diocesan high school here in Tulsa. And I'm the associate vocations director, and I am going to be the new prefect of the Damien House.
Yes.
A house of discernment here in the Diocese of Tulsa. All three great jobs. I love it all.
That is awesome. Well, we'll be right back. We're already on our break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And today, our glass is a glass of Four Roses, single barrel, bourbon whiskey.
Delicious.
It's pretty good. So before the break, Father, I was giving you a little bit of time your shoulders have to be pretty, like, worn out from all the stuff that you're having to do. You're having to carry a lot of weight right now.
The Lord carries it. It's all good.
So you were telling us a little bit about what you're doing. And what your jobs are.
Yeah, so here in the Diocese of Tulsa, which for those of you outside of Oklahoma, why aren't you here? You should be here because it's the greatest place on earth. The Diocese of Tulsa is the eastern third of Oklahoma, running from Kansas to Texas all the way to Arkansas and as far west as Stillwater, Oklahoma. So you can check us out at dioceseoftulsa.org. But here in the diocese, I've been given, I have three jobs. Kind of one is the biggest job, and that's as the president of Bishop Kelly High School. Bishop Kelly is founded in 1960, the one and only diocesan Catholic high school here in the Diocese of Tulsa. We have, this year we're going to be a little over 900 students, actually our highest enrollment in about 10 years.
Sweet.
So we're rolling.
It's probably because all that advertising you're doing on St. Michael Catholic
Radio.
We
did. So just a few months ago, got with David and Adam. And recorded a radio spot, and it was awesome. It was so easy to do and fun. So if you're out there, if you've ever thought about advertising on the radio, give these guys a call because it's awesome and not very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, just it's reasonable,
right? Because we don't have any overhead.
Yeah,
we don't make any money doing
exactly.
This,
yeah, so. No, it's beautiful. So we recorded that ad. So I have no doubt that has led to the influx of many many students from all over. But we have students coming from 56 zip codes all
wow.
over the Tulsa area, from as far away as Muskogee, which is a 100-mile round trip every day. And a lot of great things happen. We've got great teachers, man, our dedicated teachers and coaches, and great facilities. You know, we've done a lot over the last couple of years to upgrade our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But probably, you know, I think the best thing that we do is we try to, as we like to say, we prepare our students not just for college. A lot of schools prepare their students for college. We prepare our students for life and for heaven.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
I love that. That was in your radio ad.
That's right.
Which I love.
That's right.
I love that
so
ad.
Whether in the theology classroom or around the school, the opportunity to go to Mass, go to confession. We've got some priests around, Christian Brothers on campus, just some wonderfully faithful teachers. Just a wonderful opportunity to be in a great Christian community. We have students from all different denominations,
mm-hmm.
mostly Catholic, but from churches. Even some students who are coming from non-Christian faiths. And it's just it's an awesome place to be. Probably the best fruit we've seen of that
mm-hmm.
Is this fall we will have 9 of our graduates in the seminary.
Wow,
nine
that
of
is
our
awesome.
Graduates. Yeah, so we're pretty
in
pumped.
The seminary.
We're pretty pumped, and three young women.
Wow, that is awesome.
In the not in the seminary, but in
right.
the, in the
right.
convent.
Right.
Yeah.
One of them was, I think, in my my class or close to it.
They're coming. Yeah, they're coming, kind of stretching out from several different classes. So
okay.
we're excited.
Yeah,
we're
excited.
Awesome. We got some great things going on. So in addition to Bishop Kelly, I'm the associate vocations director.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of good fruit there. We'll have 25 seminarians this fall.
Yeah, Tulsa's like pumping out seminarians.
Yeah, we're
kind
of blowing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of blowing up.
Yeah. Here in a few years, Tulsa's going to be the place. Like, the Catholics are going to be dominating Tulsa.
Yeah, we're small but mighty.
That's right.
And growing.
Yes.
Our seminarians are just awesome guys. So these are guys, you know, ranging from age 18 to, we just ordained a guy in his mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
Father John O'Neill. Unbelievable guys. We'll have 25 guys in the seminary this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other initiative we've just taken on recently, I'm moving in actually just in a couple weeks, and that is what we call the Damien House. It's a discernment house for young men in right out of high school, guys who are kind of college age, maybe mid-20s, thinking about seminary but aren't quite there. Maybe they got loans to pay off. Maybe they're taking classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to we'll live in a house, be me and four guys who are thinking about seminary.
Sweet.
And just great community life, and anyway, it's going to be awesome.
That is awesome.
So good things happening.
Absolutely. With a new bishop.
We got and a new bishop.
Yeah.
We're off and running.
That's going to be awesome.
He's awesome.
He is great. In fact, you're going to be doing an interview with him.
We are going to be, I've never interviewed anyone, really.
Yeah.
Maybe since, like, middle school Texas history class, where I had to interview, you know, someone who's lived in Texas a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, our bishop's from Texas, so we're going to be doing an interview with him, and that'll air on St. Michael Catholic Radio.
Yes.
Somewhere in the near future.
That'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be good.
So tell him a little bit about, you know, when we came knocking on your door and we kind of talked to you guys and we were like, hey, listen, we've started this radio station, you know, BK alumni, you know, we need some help.
Go Comets.
Go Comets. And so said, you know, how could we help BK? Because you guys, you know, BK helped us a lot, you
sure.
know, preparing for college and, you know, with theology teachers like Ken Coughlin and
yeah.
and all these guys that, I mean,
yeah, good man.
We have you guys have a lot of great theology teachers. And so, we said, you know, how can we mingle? How can we help each other?
We've undertaken, Adam, over the last year or so, kind of a major fundraising effort to redo our broadcast journalism. So we've always had kind of yearbook and newspaper, which is mm-hmm. all good and awesome. About 5 years ago, we started what we call BKTV, which airs a lot of sporting events, all school mass, graduation, stuff like that. So what we're doing this summer, we've renovated the classroom, and we're now calling it broadcast journalism. So
yes.
we're going to get our students more and more active in, mm-hmm. in the media,
mm-hmm.
With the idea of giving them that kind of life experience. But hopefully down the road that mm-hmm. they're going to get out, and they're going to evangelize within the media.
Yes.
Right? So the media, both right and left and kind of from all points, it can be kind of skewed. The
mm-hmm.
church's voice is oftentimes not heard very well.
That is the truth.
In the media. And so we hope to change that.
Yeah.
Kid by kid.
And hopefully we'll start doing a class that'll be airing on St. Michael Catholic Radio.
Yes, indeed. There's so many opportunities. So
yeah.
once we get that classroom rolling, I can see you and David coming in if he ever gets back from vacation.
Yeah, he may be on perpetual vacation.
He might just stay there. Because he's probably listening and being like, man, he's so good.
Yeah, he's worried. Man. He's probably worried right now for his job.
Yeah, good thing it doesn't pay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
it's all good.
It's,
so yeah,
yeah,
a lot of opportunities there. We're looking forward to it.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. So real quick, because we're getting close. We do the man gear.
Oh my gosh!
And,
yeah,
and we only have like, you know, probably 4 minutes.
All right,
4 minutes. So when we were talking, you had told me like you were saying I have the perfect man gear.
I got
gear.
A story.
Yeah, you got to tell us.
So I did my undergrad at Boston College. Went to did a master's degree at Notre Dame. Met a guy there. While I was at Notre Dame, a good friend of mine named Tim Green. And Tim Green and I are both from Houston, so we had a lot in common. We both love the Astros. We could both, for all you Houston listeners, we could name the phone number and address of Gallery Furniture, which is how you know if you're from Houston or not. 6945570. 6006 I-45 North between Tidwell and Parker. That's how you know if someone's from Houston, if they can name those things about gallery furniture. So Tim and I hit it off. We've been great friends.
Mm-hmm.
I become a priest. Tim's married with four beautiful kids. So we don't see each other that often. He lives up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Well, recently, just in the last couple weeks, Tim's father died. His dad, Pat Green, who for me was a great role model, great man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to his funeral down in Houston. I drove down and just to be with Tim and be able to celebrate the funeral. And Tim, at the rosary the night before, after we pray the rosary together, you know, a couple hundred people there, a lot of great people. And Tim gets up and says a little bit about his father. And he starts out and he says, "My father always had four things in his pocket."
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was, oh my gosh, what are those four things? My second thought was, this would be really good stuff for the Catholic Man Show. So Tim says, my dad always had four things in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He always had a handkerchief.
Mm-hmm.
And with that handkerchief, he could dry the tears of someone crying, wipe the nose of a baby that needed it, wipe the sweat from his head if he was working hard. So he always carried a handkerchief.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that he always carried was a wad of cash.
Okay.
In case that cash was ever needed by somebody else. He just carried money around with him in mm-hmm. case he ran into someone who was homeless, in case he went to church and wanted to give, in case he just needed to help somebody. The third thing that he always carried around was a pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
And a pocket knife could, which you've already covered here on the Man Show.
Right.
I don't know what episode that was, way back.
Yes.
So that he could fix things mm-hmm. with his little pocket knife. And fourth and finally, what he always carried with him, and what he said that his sons and every man should always carry with them, is a rosary.
Yes.
That ultimate weapon of prayer.
That's the truth.
The rosary. So a handkerchief,
mm-hmm.
a wad of cash,
mm-hmm.
a knife.
Yes, and a rosary.
And a rosary. So I thought the man gear tonight is none other than the handkerchief.
Yes.
Now, I always carry a handkerchief. I'm holding it out here right now. You can't see it because you're listening to this. But I carry a white handkerchief with me. And really what I find, you know, sometimes I may be a little sick, my nose is running, I'm good to go. A lot of times maybe I'm outside, I'm at a football game, I'm walking building to building, it's hot outside, it's Oklahoma summer.
Right.
I got something to wipe the sweat off my brow. But I've also used it with families who are maybe crying, with a student
mm-hmm.
who is going through a tough time and they're crying in my office. And there I am. If I don't have a box of Kleenex, I got my handkerchief. It is outstanding.
You're always prepared.
Man gear. Plus, I will tell you, Adam, this may not be manly, but I think it's manly. And that is, I cry a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Movies. Yeah. You know, you watch like YouTube videos of like soldiers coming home.
Yeah.
I'm a mess.
Man.
Undercover Boss, if you've ever watched that. Oh, man. When I'm watching the last 10 minutes of Undercover Boss, look out.
Look out.
Because the tears are flowing.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man. I've made that mistake of watching the troops coming home to their families.
Oh, goodness.
Like at work.
Yeah.
You know, I accidentally, you know, started watching that.
People
and I was like,
walk
oh,
in,
my gosh.
Like,
yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just watching. I'm doing okay. I'm all right.
But I have my handkerchief.
Yeah.
Right there.
Always prepared.
To dry my eyes.
And I think it's really good for also guys who are have little kids. It's always being prepared,
oh,
like you said.
Without a
doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, there's tons of times where
you know
I,
that better
yeah,
than me.
Yeah, there's tons of times
so
that
So, guys, get a handkerchief.
Yeah, handkerchief.
Or two.
The man gear.
Actually, I have 20. I have 20.
Get a lot of them.
And I just rotate them out every day.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm set.
Man gear. Boom. Done. Check.
Handkerchief.
Yes, we're on the Lord's team. The winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with my special guest host, Father Brian O'Brien.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Hey, Father, I heard you had a really good Harry Carey impersonation.
Hey, come on, everybody. Come on, Catholic Man Show. You gotta listen. Hey.
Was that good?
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Okay, good.
That was pretty good.
It's been a while since I've done that. Now, if any students are listening to this, then they're going to start asking me to do it at pep rallies.
And announcements, school announcements.
And I, you know, it's a big fee if I'm doing this publicly.
That's right. Yes.
Just did it as a favor to the Catholic Man Show.
Well, we appreciate
because they've given
that.
Me such joy over the last 11 episodes.
That's right.
Or something like that.
Something close enough to that. This is actually 14.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I've missed three.
Okay. Well, listen, here, you know this. On the Catholic Man Show, we talk about manly things. We've talked about a lot of manly things. And this episode, we're going to talk about something that's very manly that we're not going to run away from. Just because it's a sensitive topic to some people, just because it is something that a lot of people don't like to talk about, that doesn't mean that we're not going to.
Take it head on.
So, we're going to talk about a little politics, guys.
They always said you're not supposed to talk
about
in polite company about politics or religion.
Well, we're breaking both of those rules here today.
Whoever said that. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, we're breaking both those rules today. So, Father, here's the deal. We're as Catholic men specifically that are listening to this show, I have a lot of Catholic friends who talk and are very worried about the election coming up.
Sure.
And there's no surprise that a lot of them don't even know really what to do. They have a formed conscience and they're just not sure what they're supposed to do. So here on the Catholic Man Show, just like the Catholic Church, we don't endorse any political party.
No parties, no candidates.
No parties, no candidates. That's a good, yeah. No parties, no candidates.
Yeah. Parties, no candidates.
That's right. Hashtag cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
But what we are going to do is talk about what we're supposed to do as Catholic men regarding our duties to vote.
Definitely.
And our civil duties that we're required to do. So, let me toss it over to you.
Well, I would say, let me say a couple things. Number one is I would recommend to everyone, even as you're listening to this, if you're able to get to the internet, which I think is here to stay, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think it's a fad anymore.
I think it's here to stay.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would recommend you go to a website called faithfulcitizenship.org. Faithfulcitizenship.org. That is the website that is put together by the Bishops of the United States of America, commonly known as the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They have put together a wonderful website full of resources for individuals, for parishes, mm-hmm. schools, Bible studies, you know, just people who want to vote, mm-hmm. who want to be politically active, mm-hmm. with an informed conscience, with the mind of the Church. Faithfulcitizenship.org. Yes. I would really recommend it. So a lot of the things that I have to share, these are not my original thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, I have an undergraduate degree in political science, which qualifies me to do nothing. that and a nickel will give me something that costs a nickel. With regard to politics, I think a lot of people, you know, there's this idea of the separation of church and state, right?
Right.
The idea that Thomas Jefferson first wrote about, and we're not going to get into all of that. There's books you can read on the subject. But I think there's a sense and sometimes an expectation mm-hmm. that as people of faith, mm-hmm. we have there's our public faith and there's our private faith.
Right.
And what the Catholic Church says is that if we're putting our public faith in one basket and our private faith in another basket, that we're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That as faithful people, as Catholic people, desiring to live out the teachings of Jesus Christ in our lives, that part of that obligation mm-hmm. Is taking our faith into what we call the public square.
Right. That would be like you saying you can act like a priest when you're in your Catholic circles, but when you get to Walmart, you can't act like
right.
a priest.
Right.
Or when you get out into the public, you can't act like a priest.
Right.
You just don't. Or for me, I'm a married man. Regardless of where I am, I need to act like
man.
I'm a
That's
married
right.
man, and
That's
I need
right.
to act like a married man.
So bringing that kind of that integrated. Our faith, our private faith,
mm-hmm.
what we do on Sundays with what we do the rest of the week.
Right.
And one of the ways that we do that, of course, is in our work, is in our life, our family. But one of the ways we do that is through politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Church really has always been involved in politics, right? From the very beginning, right? Jesus was crucified by the authorities.
Right.
from the very beginning, mm-hmm. this thing was about politics. Were entangled in politics, mm-hmm. and we've been that way ever since, right?
It's not going away.
For the first three centuries of Christianity, mm-hmm. it was illegal to be a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And then Constantine comes along, it's legalized, mm-hmm. and it starts to grow, and so really it's an obligation that the church gives us, and that's what the bishops lay out in this faithfulcitizenship.org. The document is called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, and there's just wonderful, wonderful resources. The subtitle of it is A Call to Political Responsibility from the Catholic Bishops of the United States. So it's a great document. It's only it's 36 pages long, so it's very readable, doable, right. in one sitting.
There's no excuses to get it knocked out.
No excuses. And they have like these one-page summaries which you can read, which are excellent. And so there's several things. You know, it's an election year. And I would say, you know, I've been watching elections since mm-hmm. I was in middle school.
Okay.
It has not been nastier
than right now. Yeah.
What I hear out there, kind of as I visit various parishes, what I hear in my school, a lot of people are really, you know, kind of what do I do?
Yeah.
Maybe they've been lifelong Democrats. Maybe they've been lifelong Republicans. Maybe they've been independents or involved in some third party. But this election, for whatever reason, has the choices, I think, are not quite as clear.
Oh,
as they
man.
Have been in other years. But one thing I want to get across is that, you know, all the attention is on the presidential election.
Right.
And obviously the president is important, right? They run an entire branch of government. But there's other elections. Mm-hmm. So I want to urge people out there who are listening to not just pay attention to the presidential election, even though that's what's getting all the attention. Right here in Oklahoma, there's other elections mm-hmm. that are coming up here in November. There's state ballot initiatives. If you live in another state, there's going to be other elections. There's mm-hmm. going to be other names on that ballot besides just who are you going to vote for president.
Right.
If you live in other countries, I don't know when your elections are, but I think even this document can be helpful even to you, those of you who are listening out there in other places. Because what the Catholic Church lays out is not, again, as you said, not a party, mm-hmm. not a particular politician, but very clear principles
right.
of how we are to act in the public square. And included in that is, of course, how we vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to help form our consciences to vote.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So I think probably the first point that I think is really important to make, and it's something that I think even a lot of Catholics misunderstand, is that not all issues are equal.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, but I think there's a sense that people would say, okay, well, I'll compare this candidate and this candidate, and these are the 10 issues that are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, well, this guy got 6, and this guy got 4, so I'm going to vote for the guy who got 6.
6, right.
But when in fact, I mean, there's no chart that the church passes out or anything, but what the church does say very, very clearly in this document, popes have said it over the years, from John Paul II to Pope Benedict to Pope Francis, that not all issues are equal,
mm-hmm.
That there's one issue that is actually more important than all the others. And that is the issue of the dignity of human life.
Right. Because so, without that, nothing else matters.
Exactly.
Who cares what anything else happens if you don't have the dignity?
That's the basis of it. Yeah. Right. And so you get into the issues of abortion and euthanasia specifically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because those are attacks against innocent human life.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening here in this country. It's happening in countries around the world. While the abortion rate has decreased recently, thanks be to God, it's still happening at an unbelievable rate right here in Tulsa and in lots of places around the world. But euthanasia is on the rise.
Yeah, you're
scary.
Yes, super scary. In fact, let me just throw this out there, and I'm sure you know this, Father, but if you're thinking, I want to know how I can get into the pro-life movement, but I'm not a guy who has, you know, a lot of money to donate, I'm not a guy who likes to stand up and speak.
Put a rosary in your pocket.
That's exactly right. Dave and I, at the Garden of Hope, every Thursday at 11:30, we pray a rosary for the sanctity of life.
Preach it.
So there's something that you can do, very easy, very, you know, you don't have to do anything, but just come there and pray with us, 11:30 Thursdays.
So that what the church says, that's a great point. You know, the church has kind of the first rule of the moral law.
Mm-hmm.
Do good and avoid evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're saying, what should I do today? How should I live my life? Well, basically, do good and avoid evil. And so one of the things that we can do when we vote, we can do good. We can vote for candidates who are going to do good. in the world, make policies that will make us better. Sometimes that's not an option. Sometimes it seems like there's candidates. And again, this, I'm not just talking about the presidential election, even though that's what a lot of people are thinking. There's races kind of up and down, local, state, federal.
Mm-hmm.
To do good and avoid evil, a lot of times there, it seems like we're choosing between
the lesser of two evils.
The lesser of two
evils.
That's
what you always hear.
Now, and that's the way it is. That's the kind of the way, at least in this country, that's the apparatus. That's the system that we're in. There's two major parties.
Mm-hmm.
Those two major parties battle it out. We pick one. They are in government for a while, and then we pick the other one.
Right.
And we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of just the way that it's been,
mm-hmm.
really since the beginning. But to do good and avoid evil, I want to read to you this beautiful line. This is paragraph 22 of Faithful Citizenship. The church says, this is the bishops of the U.S., there are some things we must never do as individuals or as a society because they're always incompatible with love of God and neighbor. And when we come back from the break,
yes,
I'll pick that up.
Okay. I'll pick it up. I'll set it down. I'll let you pick it back up.
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
There you go. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, and we raise our glass to both Him, the Sacred Heart, and to our Mother. And while you guys were listening to these fabulous commercials that Dave and I handcrafted for you, Father Brian and I were sitting here talking about manly things. One being finishing up what you were talking about before the break, written by manly men.
The bishops.
The bishops.
Successor of the apostles.
Right. Yes.
Dun dun.
So I'll let you finish up what you had to say.
So this paragraph 22, it just nails, I think, what are the most important issues in this and any election. So the bishops say such actions, these are actions that are that go against innocent human life. Such actions are so deeply flawed that they are always opposed to the authentic good of persons. These are called intrinsically evil actions. They must always be rejected and opposed and must never be supported or condoned. A prime example is the intentional taking of innocent human life, as in abortion and euthanasia. In our nation, abortion and euthanasia have become preeminent threats to human dignity because they directly attack life itself, the most fundamental human good, and the condition for all others. It is a mistake with grave moral consequences to treat the destruction of innocent human life merely as a matter of individual choice. A legal system that violates the basic right to life on the grounds of choice is fundamentally flawed.
That is some strong language.
That's strong words. But, you know, I had a good friend in college who was trying to make the argument. This was back when we were in college and voting at the time and basically saying, well, I know that they're okay with abortion, but have you seen their stance on the environment? Now, the environment is important. Good. Right. Night. Pope Francis has made that abundantly clear. If you haven't read his beautiful document, Laudato Si, on God's creation, mm-hmm. it's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Right.
And it says that the environment is extremely important. But to equate
right.
clean water and abortion
right. or just
is the bishops would say is a no-go.
Did you see how good Stalin ran the economy?
Yes, exactly. Made the trains run on time. So getting to the basics is when you're looking at a candidate or looking at a party, what do they say about innocent human life? Now, that's not the only issue, and that's a beautiful thing. The bishops go on to say that that's not the only issue. We're not a one issue people,
mm-hmm.
but there are a hierarchy of issues, that not all issues are to be treated equally. So the bishops go on. This is paragraph 28 in Faithful Citizenship, faithfulcitizenship.org. The first is a moral equivalence that makes no ethical distinctions between different kinds of issues involving human life and dignity. The direct and intentional destruction of innocent human life from the moment of conception until natural death is always wrong and is not just one issue among many. It must always be opposed.
Mm-hmm.
So the bishops are saying, I mean, it is issues
of life.
They're making
it crystal
clear. Issues of life are front and center. Now, they go on in that there are other issues. So for example, in this election specifically, they talk about issues of religious liberty, of the First Amendment, of people of faith being able to live out their faith. Mm-hmm. They talk about efforts to redefine marriage in this country, which has happened, especially over the last year. The bishops say the marriage of a man and a woman is the foundation of the family and an essential core element of a flourishing society. So you to look at your candidates and say, where are they on that? Where are they mm-hmm. on issues of life, religious liberty, on marriage, on the growing disparity between rich and poor? They say the federal budget is a moral document and must prioritize the poorest and most vulnerable among us. Mm-hmm. The millions of undocumented persons living in the United States deserve our compassion. There is an immigration problem, and we need a humane solution to solve it. They go on. War, terror, and violence have caused thousands of lost lives. We must work for just solutions to conflict in the Holy Land, throughout the Middle East, and beyond. So they name those six issues of life: religious liberty, the redefinition of marriage, the growing disparity between rich and poor, immigration, and war, terror, violence, mm-hmm. As major issues. But again, not all equal,
right?
But all extremely important. And so when you're talking to candidates, if you're running for office, when you're out there, when you're watching the presidential debates or the local debates, ask yourself who is representing these mm-hmm. the most.
So there's a lot of issues. Dave and I have been talking about this for a long time, Father, and we've had long conversations about it. And the whole issue is when you go through all of those and you look at them and go, I don't know. There's a good chance I can't in good conscience vote for either parties because of what's going on, because of their stances that they're taking publicly. So what do you say, Father, to those who are in that boat of saying, I don't know if I should vote?
Yeah. I heard someone say recently, they said, I don't think America should elect any president in 2016. We need to be single for a few years and find ourselves. I like that. I like the way they say that. But no, but the bishops actually address this very, very wonderfully. And they do it in paragraph 34 of Faithful Citizenship. So they say, Catholics often face difficult choices about how to vote. Am I right?
Amen.
Preach it.
Yeah.
This is why it's so important to vote according to a well-formed conscience that perceives the proper relationship among moral goods. A Catholic cannot vote for a candidate who favors a policy promoting an intrinsically evil act, such as abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, deliberately subjecting workers or the poor to subhuman living conditions, redefining marriage in ways that violate its essential meaning, or racist behavior, if the voter's intent is to support such a position. In such cases, a Catholic would be guilty of formal cooperation in grave evil, not where you want to be.
No.
At the same time, a voter should not use a candidate's opposition to an intrinsic evil to justify indifference or inattentiveness to other important moral issues involving human life and dignity. Last thing I'll read here, paragraph 35. There may be times when a Catholic who rejects a candidate's unacceptable position, even on policies promoting an intrinsically evil act, may reasonably decide to vote for that candidate for other morally grave reasons. Voting in this way would be permissible only for truly grave moral reasons, not to advance narrow interests or partisan preferences or to ignore a fundamental moral evil.
So for the layperson, tell us what that means.
Well, so what it means is that there are those hierarchy of issues, but there are times when the choices mm-hmm. are between bad and worse.
Right.
And so what the bishops are saying is there are times when in your well-formed conscience, you may have to choose bad to prevent
worse.
Mm-hmm. And that when that's been properly prayed over, when you've listened to the candidates, mm-hmm. when you've read the documents, of choosing bad over worse mm-hmm. in order to stop worse, mm-hmm. that you can do it.
Okay. So here's the deal. A lot of people, to me, Father, are complaining. There's a lot of complaints on both sides.
Oh, bring it.
Right? There's a ton of people who are just bashing both sides and saying, third parties are just saying, I don't want any part of this.
I'm going to make a prediction, Adam.
Yes.
I think one of the third parties, probably the libertarians, I think are going to get to that magic threshold of 15%.
Mm-hmm. And
I think one of them, I think the Libertarian candidate, I think, is probably going to be in one of the debates.
I think he's pretty close
because
right now.
People really are. They're fed up.
They're tired of it.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those guys,
Yeah, we still have 3 months.
And if you're one of those people who are thinking, like, I'm sick of this. Like, I am tired. I'm kind of in this camp. I'm tired of where we are right now. And if that's the case, we need to do our civil duty of voting locally.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, of voting up and down the ticket.
Because it's not just about, like you mentioned earlier, it's not about just the presidential election.
Right. That's obviously big.
Right.
But there are Senate seats. There are congressional races. There are local races. We just finished a mayoral election here in Tulsa. But wherever you may be listening to this, there's probably some local elections. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Oklahoma, there's a number of ballot initiatives that are going to make their way onto the ballot. And I haven't really studied those either, but plan to, you know, to make an informed choice.
Right.
Taking what the bishops have said and trying to apply it to those varying things. But yeah, no, voting locally, running locally. If you are a faithful Catholic man or woman,
we need you.
Run for office.
Yes,
my
please.
Goodness. If you're
there's
waiting
a lot of you guys
for
out there.
God to speak to you, I am not him, but I'm a priest. Run for office.
There you go. Do you know that? Do you know that Scott Hahn's wife ran for office?
I did not know that.
Yeah, in Steubenville and won.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's Kimberly Hahn is doing great
Rock
over
on.
There. Yeah, and she's high rating. Like they
Hahn
really
for
like
president.
Hahn for president.
I can't endorse candidates, but
right, you know. But.
But Kimberly Hahn, all right.
But yeah, seriously, if you are voting local is very important.
Absolutely,
because it's representing who you are. They're representing you.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
Absolutely.
To vote locally. Okay, so what's one more thing that you had to?
Well,
hit?
You know, so I think some people are at a point now where you know I have some people who say I don't want to vote.
Right.
I don't want to vote.
Right.
Both candidates, both, you know,
in good conscience,
whatever the presidential election or the local, you know, I just can't do it. Well, the bishops actually address that. Again, paragraph 36 is really nice. And it says this, when all candidates hold a position that promotes an intrinsically evil act, the conscientious voter faces a dilemma. The voter may decide to take the extraordinary step of not voting for any candidate, or after careful deliberation may decide to vote for the candidate deemed less likely to advance such a morally flawed position and more likely to pursue other authentic human goods. So there's an opening there. I would tread lightly, but there is an opening there if you choose not to vote. Mm-hmm. And I would just add one more thing from the Catechism, paragraph 2240. Submission to authority and co-responsibility for the common good make it morally obligatory to pay taxes, to exercise the right to vote, and to defend one's country. So that's pretty strong from the Catechism, paragraph 2240. But the bishops kind of clarify that in paragraph 36 of faithful citizenship. They kind of clarify that there might be the opportunity to not vote. Last thing I'll say is pray, people.
We need
pray before
prayer.
You vote. Pray for our candidates. Fast for them.
Yes.
Prayer
and fasting.
This is a very unique time in our history.
Yeah.
We need warriors out there. So be manly. Vote manly.
Yes.
Vote your conscience, but your well-formed conscience.
That's right. Thanks so much for being here.
It is a joy.
It's
thanks,
been a lot
Adam.
Of fun. All right. Have a good day.